We have to realize when we are talking about prosperity that prosperity requires a right mindset and a right attitude. Starting this teaching on the subject of prosperity requires a right mindset and right attitude, I want to begin with 3 John 2. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So we can see from this scripture that we can prosper in our soul, in our spirit, and in our finances, and so there are various levels of prosperity. 3 John 2 is really talking about our minds and the renewing of our minds by the Word of God so that our souls will prosper, so we can prosper financially. John says we are going to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. Now, if the soul doesn't prosper, we will not have financial prosperity. We will not have healthy bodies. Our soul is very important, and it has to be renewed by the Word of God. So let's look at a scripture that proves this. We will read from Proverbs 13:23, and it says, "Much food is in the tillage of the poor." What does tillage mean? It means there is much opportunity around the poor, but because of their attitude, because of their mindset, because of their thinking, they can't see the opportunity. Then here comes someone else with the attitude and the mindset of abundance, and they can see the opportunity, and they will say, "We can do that with that and that and that and that." An example of a person who had the right mindset and right attitude and saw an opportunity was a woman who made some syrup from her great-grandmother's recipe. At first, she never thought much of it, and then she ended up on welfare, and this syrup recipe came to mind, and she had a thought of making some of the syrup and giving it to other people who liked it. She kept going with the leading of the Lord, and the syrup now is sold in over 500 grocery stores. So she has gone from welfare to faring well only because she saw something around her that she could use. How many of you have something around you right now that can take you into a real comfortable financial place of living? A lot of times we just don't see the financial opportunity because of our negative attitudes, poor mindsets, fear programmed mind of failure, etc., etc. I believe there are opportunities that pass us every day, but people can't see them. It's similar to when someone is looking for their lost car keys and they can't find them, and then they ask for someone else to look for them, and immediately then that person finds the keys and they say, "If it was a snake, it would have bitten you." Now, why did they say that? Because the keys were right there all the time, but this person just couldn't see them. You can have a mindset that can block out opportunity so that you can't see it. See the opportunities that are right there around you. Let's say a person has an image of someone breaking into their car, or has an image of their kids turning out wrong, or worried images of not being able to pay the bills. And all those things are wrong thoughts. That's why Paul tells us we have to manage our mind and our thoughts, and he tells us what we should think that will help us even see the opportunities that are around us to help us prosper financially. Paul tells us in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Paul is telling us exactly how to think. So you are going to think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, and I would add, think on things that are of mental, physical, and financial prosperity to you. We can't allow our minds to be cluttered with negative things about people and situations. If we think negative things about other people, then it's going to filter into us. And then we are going to be judging ourselves negatively, and we will never feel sure about ourselves. We have to stop that. We have to give other people the benefit of the doubt. We need to say something good about others. Now, putting this teaching all together, I want to share with you a scripture that proves the point that much food is in the tillage of the house of the poor, and because of their wrong thinking and mindset, they just don't see opportunities around them to prosper. And the scripture I want to share with you is found in 2 Kings 4, verse 1. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." Now because she owed some money, the creditor had come for his money, but she is not able to pay it, and so the creditor is going to take her sons and make them work off the debt, and that's bondage. And God doesn't want his people to be in bondage. And this kind of bondage can work on the mind of a person, and then they can't see opportunities that are around them that can get them out of this bondage. So let's continue on with her story. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed, or let's say it stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Notice the woman was still borrowing, but this was not borrowing to put her more in bondage. She didn't go and max out her credit card and buy some new clothes and shoes. No, this was a divine arranged loan, because God knows he is going to pay it off. He is sending her somewhere just to get her out of the bondage she was in. Divine loans prosper us to pay off the debt. I believe the church is in a time of debt cancellation. I know the Lord has done it for me and my family, and I know he is doing it for you no matter what the debt you might have. You may be in debt over your head like this widow and can't pay off the debt or even make one payment. But we are in a time of debt cancellation. Say that. I am in a time of debt cancellation. And let's read a scripture about a time of debt cancellation, and we find that in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. At the end of every 7 years thou shalt make a release, and this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Say this with me: I am participating in the Lord's release. Let's say that again. I am participating in the Lord's release. God is a debt-canceling God, so we are in the process of that right now. So start believing any mortgages, car notes, school loans, credit card debt, hospital bills, loans from relatives, or whatever debt, is paid in full right now because you are participating in the Lord's release. Say amen to that. Believe God and declare this is your year, your time of the Lord's release from all debt, and then seek Him how He is going to do it. The Lord enjoys canceling debt, your debt included. Now, there are three ways God cancels debt. Number one, by a miracle. Number two, by wisdom. Number three, by overflow. So you can see all three of these ways of debt cancellation in this scripture in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 2 through 7 that I just read. The Lord did a miracle and added more oil, so that when she went out and sold oil, the money she received was used to pay off the debt. We also see that this woman took the wisdom of the prophet that was spoken to her so she would know what to do. Notice she didn't even know what the next step was, but it was wisdom that told her. Then it took overflow. She had too much oil, and she could sell some of it and live off of the rest. So there are three ways of debt cancellation: by a miracle, by wisdom, and by overflow. Today, you might be in a lot of debt and you can't pay it off, or you can't make a payment. But start today declaring your debt is paid off because you are participating in the Lord's year of release. Then start sowing as the Lord tells you, because a seed sowed will meet any need. Then you will see overflow from your sowing, just like the woman started borrowing the vessels and started pouring the oil, and the oil increased. Then with the overflow, you start paying off the debt and not using it for anything else, for you are focused to get this debt paid off, and it's going to happen supernaturally. You are going to get the Lord's release from debt this year. Say amen to that. Now start praising God and giving Him thanks that He has given you wisdom to produce a miracle that has released you from debt supernaturally, and you now have supernatural overflow so that your every need is met, and you have plenty more put up in store so you can be blessed to be a blessing to others.